And this morning's lesson, we're going to spend some time in Proverbs. You can turn to Proverbs chapter number 18. We're going to kind of flip around in the book of Proverbs this morning, looking at a number of different passages of Scripture as we consider the thought for today. And, you know, everything, in most everything in life that has great power to be a blessing brings with it also the power for great destruction. It's kind of the two sides of the same coin thing. I mean, you got the blessing on one side, but with it also comes the power or the possibility for great damage. Take, for instance, electricity. This tool that we have at our disposal that allows us to turn the lights on and turn the air conditioner on in summer and the heat on in winter, and a lot of times instrumental in bringing water to our house so that we can take showers. And, you know, the lives that we live today are so dependent upon electricity. As I was contemplating this, I thought, you know what, there's an entire market today of batteries for your batteries. They have batteries that you can carry around to charge the batteries that you already have in your device. It's an extra battery, you know. It's a phone a case that has an extra battery for your phone. Or, you know, you can take your MP3 player and then you can take this extra battery with you to charge the batteries that are in that. I mean, it's a whole niche because we've become so dependent upon our portability today. But the idea of power, and our lives certainly are enriched and blessed by electricity. But uncontrolled electricity has tremendous destructive force as well. We were standing in the foyer talking Thursday night, several men and Brother Joe, and talking about the damage that happens when people touch electricity. And if you have ever been done any kind of construction, you've probably been zapped once or twice, maybe with 120 volts or something like that. And that is uncomfortable and can hurt. But if you up that voltage a little bit, you get into 277 or 480, I mean, you can really do some damage. And Brother Joe was telling us that typically, electricity takes a path of least resistance, and it'll enter the body wherever you touched it, and wherever it flows out, it'll go up through your arms. If it goes out this hand, it usually will blow off whatever appendage it goes out of. And that's if you're lucky, if it doesn't just kill you. But the destructive force that electricity has. I mean, you think about a lightning bolt and how quickly it strikes, and you know, this 50-year-old tree is just turned into splinters, you know, or a house or something completely damaged. Or you think about another thing that has got tremendous blessing but brings with it also a destructive force is a gun. For years and years, a gun was used to put food on the table. And it still is for a lot of people. Miss Martha brought some great venison stew for our fifth Sunday fellowship, and somebody had to get out and get that venison. I mean, there it still is a tool like that. And obviously, with our right to bear arms, our right to have guns, I want you to understand that that is not so that we can go kill our food. You know, I mean, we don't have to do that today. There's a grocery store, and we can go pick up our food. But the reason that that is in our rights, our list of rights, is not because we need to put food on the table. It's to protect the people from a tyrannical government. And we have the right to bear arms, and we can carry guns, and they have a tremendous blessing. They, outside of providing food, they can just be fun. You can have a good time. Competition shooting. Exercising your skill to be able to hit a target or do a fast draw. You know, I've seen some guys that they literally, like the old West talks about, you know, have you ever read Lewis L'Amour's, and they talked about how they shot and it was so fast that it sounded like one shot, but it actually was two. And I've seen fast draw shooters that shoot two balloons like 10 feet apart, and it literally sounds like one shot. I mean, it just, you can't, unless they slow the tape down, you can't even hear that he shot twice. But both balloons exploded, and they're 10 feet apart. That's fun. It's neat to see, and there can be a lot of blessing. But as we know, with that comes a lot of destructive force as well. And there are many people that have misused the guns that are available to us today to do great harm and great destructive force throughout our society and the world today. Another thing that has the power to bring great blessing and also bring great tragedy is the tongue. And this morning we're going to talk about the tongue in Proverbs chapter 18, if you're there, verse number 21. Proverbs 18, 21, a familiar verse, but read it out loud with me if you would. Proverbs 18, 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So the tongue, just like with electricity and guns, if you learn how to use it, if you understand the possibility of the damage that can come from it, and you know, it's great as we're working with our boys to teach them how to use guns wisely, and you know, we're out like at a men's thing and we're shooting, and the boys they're shooting downrange, and then they turn around and they're like, I'm all done, and somebody's got to show them, hey, you always keep that gun pointed in the right direction, even if it's an accident, that gun could go off. And it happens. I shot myself with a .22 long rifle. How do you shoot yourself with a .22 long rifle? I mean, you could accidentally shoot somebody else, but yourself, I mean, how do you get a gun turned in such a way that you could, well, I had a gun on my hip, a .22. It was a Browning lever action, very nice gift from our grandfather, sitting on my hip, and we're out in the desert, and there was a big, huge mesquite bush. Couldn't remember what kind of bush it was growing there. And they out there in the desert in El Paso, they grow really big. There's mesquite bushes as big as this section of chairs right here that you could climb up inside. And this mesquite bush growing out, and there was a bird like sitting on the edge of this mesquite bush. And I pointed up at this bird, and I said, as we got closer, he flew away. And I said, what if that bird would have sat right there? And the gun was on my hip. And a wind came and blew the gun. And when it blew the gun, it fell off my hip. And I grabbed the gun because I was just kind of resting it there. And the wind blew it, and I was pointing. And the wind blew the gun, and I went like that. And the entire sky available for a bullet wouldn't have mattered anywhere. And it goes through this finger. How in the world does that happen? But you learn about how to use a gun wisely as you get older, and you know, those types of things happen. But there's great power of destruction, but there's also great blessing that can come from it. And the same thing with the tongue. We can learn how to use it and can be blessed greatly by it. Now, I began writing a lesson for this, and the lesson kept growing and growing. And so I've turned it into three lessons that we're going to look at over the next 3 weeks. And today we're just going to look at the treasure of the tongue, the treasure of the tongue. Then we're going to look next week at the tail of the tongue, and then not the following week, but some week after that, because we have Mother's Day or we have the breakfast, so we'll miss that Sunday. But then we're going to look at the taming of the tongue. So today is going to be the positive side. We're starting with the positive. I mean, the treasure of the tongue and the gifts that we have and the blessing that it can be to us. And then we're going to look at the tail of the tongue, and that's kind of the negative side, the destructive force that the tongue can have. And then once we've seen both the positive and the negative, we're going to look at how do we tame this thing called the tongue? How do we get to use it and use the what God has given us to help us to use it for good instead of evil? Speech, the ability to communicate, to talk, that God has given us is powerful. In the 1930s, a young man of not any great account began to sway millions towards his belief of a master race. He was able, through the power of the tongue, to send a nation out against the world in belief of a master race, to do horrific things, to motivate them to these things through the power of the tongue. His method was speaking, communicating, speech. across the ocean, there was a man who is attributed with pushing back the Third Reich with the power of his tongue. And Winston Churchill stood on the airwaves and motivated the world to stand against this tyranny that was sweeping across the world with the power of his tongue, to motivate men to get out of their houses, out of their comfort zone, and to sacrifice the life and limb for the freedom of the free world. In the 1800s, Charles Spurgeon, a young man, was gifted by God in a miraculous way with communication. And he could, with his tongue, and through the power of God, motivate people and bring people to the place where they saw their need of a salvation, saw their need of a Savior, and trust Christ and grow in their Christian life. And to this day, many, many people read the messages written and spoke by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, known as the Prince of Preachers. Just this last week, we were playing a game where you have to describe like a charades, except you get to describe, you get to talk. And I drew a card, and I had to describe a particular individual. And so I got up and said, well, I was recognized as the greatest public speaker that ever held office. And very quickly, people said, who? Ronald Reagan. And they got it right away. Ronald Reagan has a gift of communication and of public speaking, of moving people with their voice. Well, God has given us the gift of communication, and the problem is, as we know, that sin entered the world, and the first words out of a human's mouth after the fall was a lie. And since then, the problem and the battle of the tongue has been raging, and a tongue can be used for good, and it can be used for evil. This morning, we want to look at how the tongue can be used for good, the treasure of the tongue. I took speech in college, and one of the first messages that I wrote was dealing with the tongue, with communication, because that was my major. I took all the communication classes that the college had to offer and wrote speeches and wrote messages with regards to the tongue. And the first message that I wrote with regards to the tongue was on the responsibility of Christians. The responsibility that we have to use our tongue for good. We have that responsibility. So I want to look at three things this morning about this, the treasure of the tongue. First of all, is the Creator's plan. The Creator's plan. God had a plan when He gave us the gift of communication. You know, we have been given by God the gift of communication, the ability to talk to one another. It's an amazing thing. We can resort to, how many of you ever heard a mom say, use your words? Kids sometimes resort to, they have their whole language, it's pff, pff. That's a whole conversation right there with a teenager, right? That means everything, right? And did you do your homework? Pff. What are they saying? They're saying a lot, but we've been given the gift of communication. Unlike the animal kingdom, who they may have a level of communication that allows them to maybe communicate dangers coming or allows them to communicate with one another on a limited basis. But we have been given a language. We as people have been created in the image of God. The only people, the only living, breathing thing that was created in the image of God, and I don't know all of the facets in which way we are created in the image of God, but I know we have a body, soul, and spirit, and the Trinity, and like that. But I think another thing is that we have the ability to communicate. We have the ability to impart knowledge and to encourage one another and to be a blessing to one another. And this was God's plan. We were created for His pleasure. We know that. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. We were created for God's pleasure. Created for God's pleasure because He wanted us to fellowship with him. Now, everything was created for God's pleasure. All of it was. But everything was created and it brought God pleasure in different ways. The beauty of the world and the animal kingdom and all these things God created, he saw it and said it was good. But when he created man, one of the key attributes which he gave man was the ability to communicate. And the purpose was that we might communicate with him. That we might communicate with him. That is why we were allowed to, that's why God gave us that communication, so we could communicate with him. In Revelation 3:20, it says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." God's saying, hey, I want to communicate with you. That's what our verse is about this month, prayer. Spending some time talking to God, communicating with God. In 1 John 1, verse number 3, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." God wants to have fellowship with us. Isn't that an amazing thing? That God Almighty wants to fellowship with you and I. How's your communication with the Father been? How are you in fulfilling that purpose and that plan of communication that God has for us? Are we communicating with the Father? Have you been spending time talking to your Heavenly Father, spending some time in prayer and letting him talk to you? Not only do we have the ability to communicate with him, but God said that he looked in the garden and he saw Adam and he said, "It's not good that man should be alone." And we looked at this last week in some detail during the morning service, where we discussed and talked about the idea that we are created beings that are created to have a need for fellowship, to be with one another, to communicate with one another. We know that God wants us to have fellowship with each other. So as we talk about God's plan, we realize that God created us for his pleasure, that we might communicate with him and that he might see us communicating properly with one another, that we might be encouraging one another, exhorting to one another to love and to good works. God created us with a language, gave us the ability. Out of all of God's creation, we're the only ones that have this level of communication. And it's so we could communicate and encourage one another. We need to be fulfilling God's plan. Then I want you to think about the Christian's power, the power that we have available to us. Now, the ability to communicate correctly, I'm not saying it's in us on our own, that we might really need to rely upon the power of God to do it right, to have proper communication. But the power is there. The ability is there. God has given us. He wouldn't tell us to do something or ask us to do something that he wouldn't enable us to do. So we have the power to do correctly. And there's no way this morning that I could talk about or touch on all of the facets of communication that the Bible discusses with regards to the Christian. But our speech should be several things, and there's some in the book of Proverbs that we want to look at this morning as we talk about this gift of communication that we have. So turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter number 25. We have the ability to communicate and to change lives. You know, some people are a delight to be around. They're just a delight to talk to. They just always got a positive word. They've got a word of encouragement. They've got, something good to say. And they're just a delight to be around. Then there's others who are a little bit less of a delight to be around. And there are some who are a downright discouragement to be around. All based upon how they communicate. I don't know if you've had the privilege to talk to Dr. Keller much. But I'll tell you what, you cannot help but be blessed just to talk to him for a few minutes. I mean, he's enduring some things. He's got some things going on in his life, but he's not going to tell you about them. He's going to tell you about how good God is. He's going to tell you about how blessed he is, how much he enjoys being here at Hunt Valley Baptist Church. He's going to talk to you about the friendliness of the people. He's always got a good word to say. That's one of the things I was telling you about last week when you introduce somebody to somebody else. I want us as a church to start doing this because it will help us. You introduce somebody and say, hey, did you get a chance to meet Bob? He's one of the most faithful men in our church. Just one thing positive. What that'll do is that'll let Bob know what you think about him. Now, we're talking about correct godly communication here. Got to be careful there. But it'll be an encouragement to Bob, but it also will be a blessing to those that you're introducing to somebody else. And you say, well, just think about something positive that you can say. And Dr. Keller, I always spend time with him. He's like, thank you, preacher, for spending time with me, for talking to me. And I says, man, I like being with you. You encourage me, It's just a blessing. And there are people like that because they are positive in nature, because what they're saying is correct, because they're upbeat. And yes, we all have trials and struggles, and we're all facing some things. But you know what? We've got a God in heaven, and he's still on the throne, and we know where we're going when it's all done, and we've got a reason to rejoice, and we ought to let our faith know about it and tell other people. Amen. In our communication. So I'm going to give you three things about the Christian's communication that we see in the book of Proverbs. First of all, we should have a soft tongue. Proverbs 25:15. We should have a soft tongue. He says, by long forbearing is a prince persuaded, and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. Now, there's another in the book of Proverbs, another verse that talks about a soft, what does the Bible say? What does anybody know? A soft answer. Turneth away wrath. Right. So, a soft tongue. Christian, your communication should be typified by a soft tongue. Hey, you know somebody that's angry, that's gruff, that's mean, that's rough in their communication? Christians ought to have a soft tongue. A soft answer turneth away wrath. A soft tongue, here it says, breaketh the bone, or makes something that's hard and unmovable movable. My brother-in-law, my wife's husband, they both work for Rebecca Books. And my wife's husband. My wife's sister's husband. You know what I was saying. Just seeing if you guys are awake, that's all. Amen. They work for Rebecca Books. And if they have an irate customer, somebody that's mad, they say, could you hold on, please? And they call John. They say, John, there's somebody on the phone for you. And they give it to John. And John knows when he picks up the phone why they're on the phone for him. Because they give him the irate customers. Why? Because John has a very smooth, consistent voice. And a soft answer turneth away wrath. And he is very good at taking situations which could escalate into big problems and calming the person down and finding the resolution. It's biblical, and it works. And as Christians, we need to exercise that. We need to use soft words. We shouldn't be typified by gruffness or anger. I'm not saying you don't ever raise your voice above this. I mean, you can raise your voice. You can get excited about things. But what is your conversation typified by? We should have a soft tongue. Not angry or mean or gruff. We should have, secondly, a soothing tongue. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 4. Proverbs 15, verse number 4. In Proverbs 15, 4, he says, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue. The opposite of that is described in the verse. It's perverseness. It's a perverse tongue. And I'll tell you what, this world today is getting so perverse. Communication today between people, even amongst the most basic common conversations, is so perverse. It's so far from wholesome. And here, this is talking about wholesome tongue. What he's a soothing tongue is what the description here, he says, a wholesome tongue. What that's talking about is the ability to heal. It is a tree of life. It brings healing. It brings refreshment. It brings enjoyment, a wholesome tongue. And just to communicate wholesomely, I'll tell you what, in this perverse world, as Christians, we ought to stand out in stark contrast to that. And it shouldn't be that hard, because we should be so far from communicating the way the world does, that it ought to stand out like a bright light on a dark night. how our communication is different than that of the world. It should be wholesome, opposed to perverse. We shouldn't, no Christian should be using the Lord's name in vain. No Christian should be using common everyday curse words. You say, well, I don't take the Lord's name in vain, but you know, our conversation should be wholesome. It's just commonplace for people today in just average conversations. I was shocked when I worked for Greg and painted cars, and I'd be in the dealerships, and the salesmen and the ladies that work there in the office, even the ladies, no qualms about talking about vulgar stuff. Stuff that I was literally embarrassed. I mean, I couldn't sit there and listen to them talking about bodily functions. Talking about things that you know, ladies shouldn't be discussing in front of men. And this is commonplace in the world today. As Christians, we should be communicating wholesomely. It talks about how that is a source of healing. It's refreshing when you get around that. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse number 18, he says, "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health." Health brings health. It's good for us just to communicate wholesomely, to have a soothing tongue. It's soothing to communicate in good ways, to not be perverse, to not discuss things that are on the line, that are so close to the line that the world's not sure if you're really a Christian or not. We ought to be so far from that, and it ought to make us uncomfortable when people talk about things that way, and when people discuss body parts and body functions, and it seems like that's all kinds of jokes and things are about that today, but Christians ought to be away from that. We ought to refrain from communicating that way and not take part in the discussions that head that way. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Pleasant words are as a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones." Brings health to the bones, Proverbs 16:24. Pleasant words. That's how we ought to be described. Our conversation, our words, soothing. We have the ability through the power of God to help bring healing to folks. And we ought to have seasonable words. Familiar verse, Proverbs 25:11, "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver." We ought to have seasonable words. Words said in the right time. You know, knowledge is having something to say. But wisdom is knowing when to say it. And sometimes there's some things that aren't necessarily wrong. Just not necessarily the best time to say it. I was discussing with somebody in Indiana, I think it was. If it was somebody here, I'm sorry. Obviously, I'm my wife's husband, so I mess things up sometimes. But he was talking about how one of their daughters is so very blunt and just like no filter, you know, just whatever. And this lady's mother was in the hospital, and they went over to visit them, and their daughter's like, "What are you going to do when your mom dies?" Okay, that is probably going to happen, but one of the things about kids is teaching them when to ask questions or when to say things. Sometimes a joke is not necessarily wrong, but it's not the right time to do it. The fool uttereth his whole mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Knowing when to say the right thing. This is one thing as a pastor that I ask God for a lot. Knowing when I should say something, when I should not say something, when I should open my mouth and when I should keep it quiet. Can I tell you that when in doubt, keep it shut. When you're not sure, just don't say anything. Even a fool is counted wise when he keeps his mouth shut. So sometimes we think, well, I want them to think I know a lot. And so we open our mouth and we prove we don't, right? it's better just to keep your mouth shut and let them think that you know a lot. And I've got several pages worth of information here, but we need to have a seasonable tongue. Things said in right time. Now, I got a couple minutes. Let me give you, lastly, the Christian's practice. How does this apply in our lives? These types of things, having a soft tongue, a soothing tongue, a seasonable tongue, with the ability to communicate also comes the responsibility to do it wisely. And God has given us communication. He wants us to do it right. And with it comes, just like if we have a gun, it can be used for good and it can be used for evil. And if a child's going to learn to use a gun, he's got to learn to do it right. Would behoove us as Christians to learn what we can about speech and communication and to do it correctly. So these types of things we want to do, and there's several areas I was going to discuss with you in the time we have left. I'll just touch on it briefly. First of all, we really need to be putting these things into practice in our homes, in our homes. This is one of the places, for some reason, that we start to think it doesn't matter. Like, oh, it's okay. I can speak this way to my wife because she's my wife and she's here and we're together and she loves me anyway. If you keep speaking to her like that, she might not. She might end up going away. She might be, and in the home, a lot of times we let our guards down and we just let things come out and we don't say things when they should be said or we say things when they shouldn't be said. And so I'm saying, especially in the home with our families, the people that we love the most, we need to be sure and ask God to help us to put these things into practice, that we have a soft tongue. Oh, we have a soft tongue for everybody else. But in the home, it's, what are you doing that for? You wouldn't talk to anybody else like that. But you would speak to your loved one that way? Why? Because they're supposed to put up with you? But it's no excuse. God didn't give us the liberty to do that in our homes. But for some reason, we think it's okay. And we're destroying our homes. We're destroying our children. We're hurting our relationships with our wives and our husbands by not controlling this thing and using soft words, soothing words, healing words, seasonable words. You know, usually the best time to take care of a matter is not when it happens. When you're mad. A lot of times, a man in a temper will just speak his mind. When what he ought to be doing is minding his speech. More than anything else. He's mad, and so he's just going to say what he wants to say. That is the time when he needs to stop, put a gate in front of his lips. Because he's going to say some things that he'll regret. And you know the old thing. You can't put it back in. You can't grab it. You can say, oh, I'm sorry, and I didn't really mean that. And somehow your mate has to deal with, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And you say you didn't mean that, but you said it. It came out of your heart. That's what you feel in your heart. And you say, no, it's not really. But you said it. And somehow they're just supposed to get over that. That you said that they were the ugliest person in the world. Or whatever it is. I'm saying we need to exercise this in our homes and really control what we say. And when we're upset, maybe we need to hold it in. Keep it in until afterwards. Keep it in until you calm down, until the time is right to talk a matter through when you can do it peaceably, with soft words. You want something to help you in conflict, resolving conflict with your mate? Hold hands while you're fighting. This is the power of touch. What happens when you're mad? The first thing you want to do is put some distance between the two of you, right? I don't want to be, you know. But you love one another, and you got to solve it. So calm down, close the distance, talk about it peaceably. If you don't, this world is going to end up, you know, if all they're getting at home is turmoil and trial and you know, wrath, you're never speaking soft words. It gets to the place where the husband just wants to be out of the house, or the wife just looking for an opportunity to go somewhere else because there's just no peace there. And then this home that's supposed to be unified where all the peace is supposed to be, they go to work, and somebody at work says, man, you look nice today. And she hasn't heard that from her husband in years. And she thinks, wow, he appreciates me. I mean, I do all this for my husband. He doesn't even appreciate that I took time to look nice today. So speaking, there's so much. I have like three more pages of information here that gets into the practical side of things. I took too long with the scripture, right? But we do need to shut it down. I need to close. But we need to use this. Let me give you the last thing here, and that is we need to practice with the Lord. Practice this with the Lord. We're obviously supposed to use our voice to praise God, but sometimes we just need to be quiet before God. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2 and 3 says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. We just need to be still before God. Be still and know that I am God. We've lost the ability today to just be still because we are so engaged in, on so many fronts with all kinds of things and the activity of our lives. We've lost the ability. I mean, if we just actually just sit still and not do anything and just think, we've lost the ability. We don't have thinkers today. Deep thinkers that can really think through things. Because after about 4 minutes, it feels like an eternity. You're just sitting there like, man, it's only been 4 minutes. We need to be still before an almighty God and let him speak to us and not be hasty with our words before him. Well, that concludes our Sunday school lesson this morning on the treasure of the tongue, the gift that we have of communication. Let me close in prayer.